seem to have had certainly yesterday was a day of considering vision in my family. My wife had an eye test, and I got some new glasses as well. And my daughter actually has got an eye examination coming up this week. And it's funny how things seem to happen together as a family, completely unplanned. It's just sort of coincidental, I guess. But it made me think a little bit, and I guess it draws your attention around seeing. I've worn glasses, I think, since I was a teenager. And it's interesting how that subtle thing of having a piece of glass, you know, sort of changes the way that you see things and how clearly you see things, or conversely, how not clearly you see things. I recently, getting to the age where I now need varifocals, which I am wearing now. And an interesting thing of that, you may have noticed sometimes, because when you're at the altar, and of course you're reading at different distances, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, which is partly why I got new glasses yesterday. So if occasionally I skip words, it's because, or if I'm doing this all the time, that's what it is. I'm not a nodding donkey. But it kind of made me think about this wonderful gospel message that we've had this morning. We're still in Easter Day. We're still reflecting on that first Easter and this wonderful, beautiful story and picture that Luke paints for us of the disciples going to Emmaus. And we don't really, I mean, we know the name of one of them, but the other one we don't know. And I think in a sense, we can probably see all of ourselves walking with them. And they're doing that very sort of typical, in a sense, human thing, that something has happened, tragedy has taken place, and they're just walking back to their lives. They're walking back to whatever normality looked like for them. They're going into that, if you like, almost a default situation of, well, you know, Jesus wasn't the person who we thought he was going to be, the situation didn't work out, or we'll just go back and pick up whatever it was afterwards. And Jesus comes and walks with them, but it's this intriguing notion that someone who they knew so well is kind of veiled to them. I mean, there's this wonderful notion also of the resurrected body of Christ. While it is physical and tangible, and he eats and he walks and does things, he also has this ability to kind of appear and disappear at will. So there's this change in him, which kind of helps us a little bit maybe reflect on the afterlife and heaven and that newness of the bodies that we will receive. I mean, he's still the same. He bears the marks, the wounds from his death, but he's altered as well. And seemingly he has the ability to kind of, if sort of veil himself from people around him until such time as he feels it's right and proper that they see him. Or maybe it's actually just that the disciples, I guess within their grief, and grief is a very interesting emotion and thing, and like all kinds of feelings and emotions, when you're down, it kind of clouds your view. So potentially these people walking towards Emmaus in their grief are just clouded from the fact that their friend has joined them. They can't see them. But what's quite amusing in a sense is how Jesus sort of berates them. I mean, here we have within Luke's gospel, it's the first sort of physical sighting of Jesus. And in many of the other gospels, we have the sort of a fairly wonderful, gentle introduction where Jesus meets Mary Magdalene and has that wonderful way he goes, Mary, and she knows straight away. But really here, before Jesus reveals himself, he goes, you a couple of idiots here. You know, you're walking away. I'm here with you. I've told you everything that's going to happen. You still don't get it. And you're here and you're talking to me, telling me everything that has happened to me, but you're not getting it. It's interesting the language that they use as well, though, that they don't talk of Jesus as Christ, as the Son of Man. They talk of him as one of the prophets, as someone who was, if you like, chosen and blessed by God. But they don't really refer to him in that nature that he truly was. And you can kind of see the misunderstanding. They're not getting him. The fact that they thought that he was the Messiah that was going to kick the Romans out and elevate Israel back to the position that it was, that he wasn't truly the Son of Man. And it's Jesus who opens their eyes and says, I am. It was the Messiah. It was the Christ who had to suffer. It's interesting and also quite comforting in a sense that, you know, these two, just like us, just like myself, I would suggest, at times are just willing to sort of walk away from Jesus in those times when things have got a bit rough and a bit difficult, and you just think, well, I'm just gonna, you know, go back to doing what I did before, and not really taking time to think and understand, to put the proper glasses on and to see him. How he's willing then to walk with us in that difficulty and nurture us into that understanding. And then we get to this, you know, truly sort of beautiful situation, which we kind of mimic every Sunday, and which we will very shortly, with the Eucharist, where he is revealed in the breaking of the bread. How their eyes are suddenly opened by that very simple but wonderful gesture of sharing a meal. That is the point that he is revealed to us. And that's the point this morning, the opportunity that we have to come and not just see him, but to touch and hold and to have that intimate moment with him. It's a huge privilege to be ordained and to be able to not just celebrate at the altar, but at that moment where you come up and again, it's a very simple act of putting a piece of wafer into someone's hand. But it's such an intimate and special moment. It's a brief one, but it's such a uniquely, and it's a very hard thing to describe unless you do it, so I slightly apologize. But it is that point, I think, at which I felt as a human that I am most who Jesus wants me to be, at that point where that simple exchange happened. And it's a very wonderful and beautiful thing. In the reverse sense, I always felt that when I was receiving, that was the point where I knew myself and Jesus knew me, at that very special opening, intimate level. And in a sense, it's that point where you've got the right prescription of glasses on and you can see what you're supposed to see. You can see the beauty that is around you. You can see what you're supposed to see. But what's so special is that actually that we remember is revealed through the broken body of our Lord, that he mends our brokenness through his brokenness and through his willingness to offer himself to us. So I think this morning we reflect again on that first Easter. Also, we can reflect that I think for a lot of us and for a lot of what's going on in the world, you know, our eyes are kind of clouded and we can't really necessarily see what we should be seeing or what we want to see. But within Christ, we have that opportunity to have our eyes open and to really see the beauty of what's around us, but also to see how we can be like Christ and alter that and change that. Amen.